The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Good morning all, this is Ryan Tubridy with you. It's 9:04 on Monday morning, the 2nd of December 2019. We're here till 10 o'clock. The text number is 51551. You can email ryan@rte.ie and we are good to go. A little later on in the programme, we'll be talking to two more members of the Dancing with the Stars lineup for 2020. And you know when you start seeing those names released, see Glenda Gilson's name has been released. Michael Carruth's name has been released, and we will release two more. It feels like I'm unleashing the dogs of war, but they are the dancing stars of the dance floor. No dogs. It's dancing stars. And actually, great people joining us today, and we'll bring them to you shortly. And you know, what's so nice about that sort of thing is that it's just changed gear now. November's gone, autumn's gone, we're now into full Christmas mode. It may or may not have started for a lot of you on Friday night as part of the Late Late Toy Show, but certainly we had a blast. I'm going to address the toy show stuff now, I won't go on about it, but just because the response to it has been as overwhelming as it has been humbling. So thank you to everyone who sent WhatsApp messages, Instagram messages. The guys were telling me the email has never been so busy over the weekend, and that's before I even got to the TV office. So obviously something lovely happened, and for that reason I wanted to just thank the people behind the scenes who put it together. They just worked so hard, and their colleagues, but more importantly their friends, and that matters because it just meant there was a warmth to it and a magic to it and an effort put into it that it just lifts the sleigh. And then obviously the biggest thanks have to go to the children who kind of knocked us out, really. I mean, there's only so much you can plan going into a show like that, because they're children. They're not professional broadcasters or not people flogging a book or telling about their next movie or something. They're just children with little stories. And each time we got to one child or another, they just seemed to come out with this wisdom and knowledge, self-awareness and kindness that seemed to make a lot of people cry. I find myself uncharacteristically having to take very deep breaths every so often, because honestly, if I was to let go, I probably wouldn't have made it through part two or three. I was very, like everyone else, just taken aback by them. So I'll just mention, say, one tweet from Andrew, who said, "I was watching with a young kid, obviously, who saw a lot of themselves in Sophia. And when Ryan told Sophia that she was gorgeous and he appreciated the way that she was different, the child turned to all of us and said that she felt he was talking to her." And really, that's what we've got a lot of over the weekend, that all the stories touched different people and resonated with different families for different reasons. And without being preachy or sanctimonious, I think that's, we didn't want to do that. They simply were just little snapshots of life for children in Ireland in 2019. But the inner child, if not to be too grandiose about it, of a lot of people came out too, going, "That was me." Or I also found a lot of younger children would turn around to their parents and going, "What do you find strange about this?" That in other words, there's some children are just the next generation seem to be just very smart and good to go. Everyone seemed to be just knocked out, as I was, by Tom and his nanny Pat. I mean, who, with his Sylvanian family and the knitting and the dancing and the kindness and a smile, the size of the island itself, and the magicians Oisin and Molly with their bin that opened and closed, and the bubbles that went through a hoop. I mean, it's mesmerising. MC Tiny, gorgeous little lad from Cork. Dennis, who sang Grace, and where we all became his parents for the weekend. I hope his folks had a lovely time in New York, and I hope they enjoy watching the show together. I think it was today. And then young Sophie, whose brother Kian was in the hospital, who got a little prize of a trip to see School of Rock. And she, well, the floodgates opened there, didn't they, too? And why wouldn't they? I'd say it's been a while since she had the opportunity to let go. And I think that sometimes a lot of families of kids who are sick and so forth, sometimes the brothers and sisters need that little moment too, and that just seemed to have happened. So I'll just read one email. It's not too long, but it's from Nikki. It says nice things about the show, and then says, I'm 38 years old, so as you can imagine, I've seen many late toy shows, and the whole country will definitely be in agreement as to how heartfelt the emotional the show was from start to finish. My six-year-old had many belly laughs watching the antics, excuse me, as did I, and it struck me when watching it that it really captured not only the essence of Christmas and what it's all about, but also the essence of people nowadays, fighting for positive change in life and how we treat other human beings. All of the kids were spectacular, but I have to say, for me, Sophia stole the show. That eight-year-old girl is an inspiration not only to children, but to adults too. I was bullied very badly as a child from the age of 12 to 19, right up to the day that I left my hometown. It was relentless, never-ending, mental and physical bullying. So Sophia's story struck a huge chord with me, and she's a hero. And to have the courage to not only appear on the most popular show on the most popular night of the year, on national and now worldwide TV, to speak out about it, more and more people need to do more of the same. And bullying can have a lifetime effect on people, and for some with very serious consequences regarding their lives. So to witness such bravery last night has been so uplifting and positive. I'm one of the lucky people who has come through the other side of bullies, but it didn't come easily. It took many years of therapy and self-love and inner work. So thank you, and thank you, Sophia, from the bottom of my heart. And that's from Nikki. Just a short snapshot of what people were saying about the toy show on Saturday, Friday night, and all throughout the weekend, and even on the street, going around the place, just people very, very kind with their comments, and I'll pass it all on to the team today when I see them a little later on. Obviously, you can appreciate I'm completely banjaxed. I mean, I'm not right after it being on. No, really. I mean, I could lie to you and say I'm grand now. I'm not. Every bone in my body is nearly is groaning, but it was worth every second of it. That's what I say to you, because it was just fun to get there, but it would take it out of you. That's the truth, in a good way. And it's kindness. I keep saying it, kindness is king, and I think that's what people responded to. That there was so much. There's a lot of unpleasantness in the world and darkness, and people can be kind of at each other. Just pause for a second and be nicer. I think it's easier. All right. One from Owen says, you enjoy the show on Friday. Cried most of the time. I'm 66. No grandchildren. But you liked what we did with the children, minded them and so on. So that's good. Please say to the Ronald McDonald House, who have looked after Sophie's family for over a year while Kian has been in Crumlin Hospital, big hello, please, from Joe, who's head of operations for the charity. Yeah. I heard some seriously sad stories over the weekend and in the days going up to the toy show, and I tried to accommodate not as many of the stories as we could, broadly if not personally, and we do try our best to kind of acknowledge everyone in their situation. So we're thinking of you all today, and thanks a million. Anyway, that's the point. Thank you very much, and we'll do it all again next year. I have the theme in my head already. Now, 51551 is the text number. We'll get to some of those in a minute. Did you ever hear of a man called Irving Berge? Irving Berge. Never heard of him. But yet you do know him, because he's the man who wrote, among other things,
he's that day, he's that day, he's that day, he's that day, man, they want go home. A beautiful bunch, a ripe banana.
Daylight come and we want go home.
Hide the deadly black tarantula.
What a great sound. You don't want to hear the whole thing, of course you do, but I think Ronan will probably play a little later on, as he would normally do, to mark the passing, sadly, of men such as Irving Berge, who died at the weekend at the age of 95. And he was commemorated by the Prime Minister of Barbados, who called for a moment of silence for the man who wrote its national anthem. On top of everything else, and all those hits for Harry Belafonte. That's the Deo, the Banana Boat song, as it was once called, featured in Beetlejuice, sampled by Jason Derulo, among others. He sold over 100 million records worldwide. And he also wrote Island in the Sun and co-wrote Mary's Boy Child. Happy Christmas, how about that? But he died at the age of 95, but he left a lovely musical legacy, in fairness to him. A society dedicated to preserving the much-abused apostrophe is to be shut down, as its chairman said ignorance and laziness has won. They've had to capitulate to the laziness of the modern age. John Richards worked in journalism for much of his career, started the Apostrophe Protection Society in 2001. After he retired, he's 96 now and is calling time on the society, which lists the three simple rules for correct use of the punctuation mark. And he wrote, fewer organisations and individuals care now about the correct use of the apostrophe. We and our many supporters worldwide have done our best, but the ignorance and laziness present in modern times have won. He started the society after seeing the same mistakes over and over again and hoped he would find half a dozen people who felt the same way. And he did, but he now feels that it's just not worth the fight. I have a book in my head, a kid's book in my head, for the last, I'd say now 8 years, barking up the tree like that, I'm going to get it out there. I promise you, it's a character. I'll tell you about it another day. But
you heard it here first.
Now, there's a strange one. Amazon came under fire on Sunday, yesterday, for selling Christmas ornaments and bottle openers decorated with photos of Auschwitz, the concentration camp. What a peculiar thing to sell. The Auschwitz Museum flagged the shocking items in a tweet that called on Amazon to stop offering them for sale. And in fairness to Amazon, they have withdrawn the product. They realise, no, I can't be doing that. And this is a week after the Spanish fashion brand Lowe apologised and withdrew a $950 shirt and pants outfit amid complaints that its black and white stripes resemble those of people worn by concentration camp prisoners. So such is the ongoing memory of that story that it can still strike where it has to, as it did with that. So they got rid of them, which is fair enough. I told you the other day that I was thinking and planning of going to Auschwitz over the Christmas, and that has come to pass. I am going to go in the end, and I will tell you all about that when I get back, but it's something I've been wanting to do since I was young, very, very young, and so we'll see. Christians, meanwhile, are celebrating the return to the Holy Land of a tiny wooden relic. And they believe the relic was part of Jesus' manger. It's been returned nearly 1,400 years after it was sent to Rome as a gift to the Pope. It's the size of your thumb, and it was unveiled to worshippers at the Notre Dame Church in Jerusalem for a day of celebration and prayer. And its arrival will coincide with Advent. Christian tradition holds that Joseph and Mary travelled to Bethlehem to register for the Roman census, couldn't find anywhere to stay, forcing her to give birth to Jesus in a manger where animals were held. And a wooden structure that Christians believe was part of the manger was sent by Saint Sophronius, the Patriarch of Jerusalem, to Pope Theodore I in the 640s, around the time of the Muslim conquest of the Holy Land. A relic from the manger would have been particularly useful for dispelling heresies holding that Jesus was more of a spiritual than a physical being. Can you believe that? Well, they do. That's the whole point. And it's like the size of your thumb, a little bit of wood, and there's a piece in our time. We talked about that a little bit last week, about returning historical objects to where they belong and whether or not they can or should do such a thing. But that's a case in point. Joe Biden, meantime, was mocked this weekend after launching an Irish-inspired campaign slogan. His slogan is, "No malarkey." Straight out of school of Michael Flatley. It did little to dispel fears. The frontrunner in the race for the Democrat presidential nomination is behind the times. The phrase emblazoned on the bus he is using to travel around the key state of Iowa dates back to the 1920s. And Mr. Biden, who at 78 would be the oldest first-term president to be sworn in, said the term was intended to highlight his truthfulness when compared to Donald Trump. He said, "What we're referring here is to my Irish ancestry. When my grandfather would really think something is full of you-know-what, he'd say, 'That's a lot of malarkey,'" he explained to supporters recently. So we're on a no-malarkey tour, meaning we're telling the truth. So that's Biden and the malarkeys. Now, I think I want that. And a beautiful antidote to all the crazy on Friday was, in fairness, on RT1, found myself watching The Santa Claus. One of the not-so-great Santa Claus or Christmas movies, but not so bad either. So it would just be lower tier, but still, when you're that banjaxed, the thought of changing channel on the remote control is just too much. And it just... get the food ordered in. Don't lift anything. Just lie there and maybe at one point remove a little bit of the drool from the side of your mouth. 51551. My daughter Sarah, says Fiona Staunton in Westmeath, is age 7. She wants to know, do you still have glitter on your head? We love the toy show. Sarah turned to me after Sophia's part and said the bullies will now ask for her autograph. Now she's on the toy show. Well done on a great show. The glitter was very much present on Saturday morning, Saturday lunchtime, Saturday evening, into the Saturday night. I think the Santa Claus ended and it was still present. It's pretty much dotted around the house. Many efforts were made and different approaches to trying to get rid of it. It was sustainable glitter, so we weren't offending anyone, just so you know. And I think by yesterday lunchtime, the last bit of it was gone. But yeah, for the most time, I looked like a sort of jaded Lady Gaga drag act wandering around the streets trying to get a loaf of bread, bit of milk, get the eggs in. But we survived ultimately. By the way, I went to see Knives Out. Now, Knives Out is a film that's based on a kind of an Agatha Christie style thing, but it's 2019. So it was made with Daniel Craig, Tony Collette, who else is there? Jamie Lee Curtis is in there, Michael Shannon. And I thought, what is this? So I didn't want to read any of the reviews because I was curious to see, did they make a bag of it or get it right? And sure enough, it was perfect for a Sunday. Perfect for a Sunday. It's like a Cluedo game, but it still references kind of Trumpy references, kind of online references, but not too much. In an old house, Christopher Plummer's the patriarch. I just loved it. It's kind of naughty. It's kind of goofy. It's fun. Daniel Craig plays a sort of a sleuth. That's a sub Poirot. It's kind of bonkers in a very good way. Would I recommend it? Highly. Knives Out, fun, entertaining film. Not like The Irishman, which did really nothing for me, even though I loved them all. Although I see a text saying, The Irishman is now on Netflix. I always seem to have the same taste in movies and music as you. I have decided to watch it in two halves. I watched the first half last night, and to be honest, it's gone nowhere. An hour and 30 minutes in. It's a documentary narrated by Robert De Niro. It's like a Bugsy Malone version of The Godfather. A firm favourite for a handful of Razzies. I don't waste your time with it. Southeast listener, toss a coin if I'll watch the second half. Yeah, well, I went to see it last week in the cinema, so I did, because I didn't want to be sitting there on my phone watching it on TV. And I found myself kind of looking at the watch that I don't have on the wrist that's bare. But it just didn't move fast. I thought the special effects were more effects and less special, and it was very disappointing. Shall we play a tune? I think we should start getting in the mood a little bit. I mean, this is one of those great songs that every year I play and every year I say, I can't believe it's not Paul McCartney singing, but it's not. It's a group called Freiheit, and it's got a really lovely Maca sound to it, Wingsy sound to it, but it's kind of nearly Christmassy, making all the right sounds, and should lift us off the runway, out of the harbour, and into the season of goodwill to all. Oh, I love that.
Freiheit, yeah.
Keeping the dream alive, and every time I pass by the trucks with Fry Light on them, I think that's very. I just keep keeping the fat alive, I suppose. Isn't that what they peddle? I love this song, recorded in Abbey Road 2, says Carl. That I did not know. Anne Marie in Galway. I also watched/slept through The Irishman last night. Enough said. Yeah, it's a bore. See, Knives Out is 12A. Is it suitable for my almost 11-year-old Agatha Christie fan? Almost 11, probably not. Depends how fussy you are about these things. If you're one of those very liberal people about what age your kids are looking at movies, no issue. If you're very worried about this or that, well, then don't bother. Just go by your gut. But I didn't see anything in it that I'd be worried about, to be honest with you. Most enjoyable film. I think maybe it could have been my brain was just running on empty. But either way, it was good fun. Surprised you didn't pick up Elton's book, Me, says Michael. As you may have had a chance to have him on your show sometime, it would also serve both as a great read and a research item. It's a biography written in the voice of Elton, who is both honest and self-deprecating. Maybe Santa will bring you one of the best biographies of the year. It's an autobiography, is it? Either way, I keep thinking I might pick it up. I'm not a big autobiography fan, broadly speaking, but I think I'll give that one a go because it's getting great reviews. You have just made my day with that great song. There's a German in the West. Well, guten Morgen to you. I hope you enjoy it. It's just a terrific song. I love all the brassy pomposity of it all. And now we will be bringing to your attention and introducing you to Dancing with the Stars. Two of the new stars will be joining us after this.